Welcome back to another episode of That's Running.
G'day, g'day, g'day. I feel like it's been a while. Really, it's still just been a week, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a week, but it feels such a long time, mate.
Yeah, so this is our first remote podcast, I believe.
Yeah.
First time Mike and I are doing it via computer and not actually face-to-face.
We're not in the same room, which is weird.
So welcoming feedback, unless it's bad feedback, actually.
Yeah, only good feedback. We'll probably chuck this on Facebook as well, so you can see our dumb faces while we do this.
Oh, I didn't do my makeup. Well, if you're doing that, I'm holding a dog. My dog's on my lap as well while we're doing this. So, yay. Reminder, we're on Facebook, Insta, just at That's Running. So go on and like all the pages there. And if there's any questions you have or things you want us to chat about or things you want us to address or just want to say g'day, definitely say hello on Insta or Facebook. So.
But you get your head into the frame, bro.
My head into the frame.
Yeah, you're cutting yourself off, like from
the listeners don't know that.
Oh, it doesn't. I do. It bothers me.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about something that happened in the London Marathon and something that is an interesting topic of discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Besides, Kipchoge just doing an amazing job as always.
Besides the fact that. Yeah, he nearly broke the world record, got a course record at London, second fastest marathon ever.
Yeah.
At an average pace of 2:52 per kilometre. That's pretty cool. That's not what we're going to talk about.
whilst we're on that subject, Paddy and I were discussing this yesterday because, you know, we talk about running all the time. Can you tell the people out there what you told me about his 40th kilometre?
Yeah, so... I think his average pace for the whole marathon was 2:52 or 2:53 per kilometer. And a fun game is like, how long can you keep up with him for? I reckon I could do maybe up to 2 kilometers, but then I'll be vomiting. Anyway, they've done this for 40 kilometers and there was a pack of three runners together with two or three Ks to go. And then we were thinking, oh, this is going to be a sprint finish. But then in the 40th kilometer, one by one, those other runners just kind of dropped back and fell off the pace. And we thought, oh, well, they must have blown up. But no, they didn't blow up. They were maintaining their 2:52 or 2:55 pace. Kipchoge went down to a 2:42 pace for the 40th kilometer. 2:42.
Oh.
Which is insane. I can't do that. I can't run that for 1 kilometer.
You can do that for 4 meters.
It's ridiculous. So we did a 2:42 and then like a 2:46 or something like that for the 40th and the 41st kilometer, which just makes me want to vomit.
Yeah, disgusting. Yeah. But okay, besides that, the thing we're actually talking about is...
The opposite end of the spectrum.
Opposite end, the slow London marathon pacers that didn't have a great time.
Mm.
I don't know if you guys have heard about this, read about this, seen anything on Facebook or the interwebs. But one of the 7.5 hour pacers put up a Facebook post with a fair bit of criticism around like people cleaning up the course, them getting sent off course, barricades being taken away, aid stations are disappearing before they even get there.
Yeah.
But this was an official 7.5 hour pacer by the new London Marathon.
The first time they'd had a 7.5 hour pacer, which is, to be honest, is basically it's a quick walk. It's not really running at that speed, but
10.5 minute pace.
Yeah, which is a brisk walk if you maintain that pace the entire time, or it's a jog with a bit of a walk, then a jog, then a walk, or a jog. You know, giving yourself time for an emergency toilet stop and a bit of a blow up later on. That's what a 7.5 marathon is. 7.5 hour marathon. So this is the first time they'd had an official 7.5 hour pacer. And apparently on the website, if you were going to take longer than 7 hours after certain cutoff points, they were going to direct you onto the footpath. And that actually said that on the website. But what happened was these runners, the 7:30 pacer, started an hour after the official gun time because there's like tens of thousands of people to this race. So in effect, they were going to finish 8.5 hours after the gun time. And so as they got through their course, they were, you know, the course markings were taken down, roads were being opened back up. There were chemical cleaners out there, like cleaning the course, and there was just traffic around. It was quite dangerous.
Yeah.
And they'd also taken away a lot of the timing mats as well. So no aid stations, no water, nothing out there.
Yeah.
These people have been running for 5-6 hours and there's no water stations out there. So it was a huge complaint from her. And I think the sentiment is shared by the marathon community. That's pretty poor form to leave runners out there like that. So it brought up the discussion point is, should they have stricter cutoff times? Should they shut down London for a few more hours to allow these people, admittedly fairly slowly, to actually have a crack at finishing the marathon? Or should they say, no, you should do it under 6 hours or something like that? Like actually put a firmer time frame on. Like, it's an interesting discussion to have because there's arguments either way.
Look, I think if you open it up and if you go, cool, we're going to do a 7.5 hour pacer, sort your shit out. You can't, don't put on an official pacer if you're not going to cater for it.
Exactly. It's fucking dumb. It's just on the surface of it, it seems like
we're all inclusive, but then we're going to take you off course anyway. Like it sort of doesn't, then don't put on your website, if you finish under 7 hours, you're going to be directed on the footpath. Then don't have a 7.5 hour pacer.
That's right. And it's not 7 hours from the gun time when the world's best start. It's 7.5 hours from when they cross the cross the starting line, which is an hour after the gun goes off.
Yeah, and I feel like the organizers should have taken that into consideration for this.
So it's a shit move from the organizers. But because everyone has different thoughts and opinions about this,
absolutely.
And I know some of my friends have different thoughts and opinions. But what do you think about having a 7.5 hour pacer or like let's say an 8 hour cutoff? What do you feel about that?
Look, I'm in two minds in regards to this. I think if you have a 7.5-8 hour cutoff, sweet, fine. It's slow, but I think it gives people that are not like your standard runners to give them an opportunity to do a marathon. Because how often do you get that chance? And many people might not see it as running. People see it as brisk walking, but to give people that experience and include people in the community, I think is very important. Even for people that might be not as fit or not as quick or not as fortunate to be as fit as other people, to give them that opportunity to do that race. But I don't think every race should be like that.
I think I'm all about inclusion. Without a doubt, I want everyone to experience a marathon. When you have to shut down almost the entirety of one of the world's busiest cities, is that the best place to do a marathon?
Probably not the best place.
You could argue for or against that. Should you do a quieter marathon where you can leave the roads open for 10 hours? Maybe that's it. Maybe London's not the most sensible one to do. But hey, maybe everyone should have the right to experience the London Marathon. But maybe you have to be able to at least jog it or do a jog walk for most of the way before you get that right. I don't know. It's hard, isn't it?
Look, I think if there's no qualifying criteria, then you open it to everyone.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at the 6-foot track marathon here in Australia, it's a hard trail marathon. It's 45 kilometers. You get cut off at 7 hours. Like
45 kilometers with pretty intense terrain, a lot of elevation.
They don't even have to shut any roads for it, really.
No, zero roads. It's in the bush.
It's in the bush, but there's still a cutoff time. And I think that attracts a different crowd. And there's a qualifying time. If you can't run a 4:15 marathon, you're not allowed to enter this race. So I think having a qualifying time will attract a different crowd, depending on what the qualifying time is.
It will.
And I think maybe London Marathon, it's a hard one. I think the organizers need to make that decision on either we're going to let it be all inclusive and keep everything open for 8-9 hours or cutoff time is 6 hours, sucked in if you can't make it.
Yeah. And in which case, here is an alternate marathon that you could do to achieve your goal of running 42.2Ks. Or as one of my other mates suggested, if you're doing it that slow, like do the half marathon and like have a crack at that. And again, I don't necessarily agree with that sentiment. I think the number one thing has to be inclusion. But you can't keep the main roads of one of the biggest cities in the world shut down all day for people to go for a long walk. It's tricky. I think for me, I'd like to see a cutoff that would allow people who jog really slowly to have a crack at a marathon and maybe give them a bit of leeway to like have an emergency toilet stop or like maybe have a bit of a blow up and still get it done. But I think if you leave it open long enough that you can literally walk it and get that medal, that's, I think that takes a bit of the shine off it personally.
Of the marathon.
Yeah. I don't know. People would probably disagree with me in that, you know, even if you walk it, that's still completing a marathon. So I don't know. If you walked 42K, Mike, would you feel like you'd done a marathon? If you'd set out at a walking speed and maintained a walking speed the entire time, would probably you not feel like you'd done a marathon?
I probably felt like I've walked 42Ks.
Yeah.
And I wondered, why the fuck did I do that for?
Yeah, why did I do that?
It's hard. I see, I'm conflicted inside going, yeah, I agree with what you're saying. It almost takes a shine off it because you're walking 42 kilometers.
Yeah.
But I also know how inclusive the running community is and how much we want everybody in there and how much we want everybody to experience that and the crowds and the event and the finish and all of that.
I think where I sit, if I was a race director, what I've got in front of me is a pace calculator. So if you run a marathon in 8 hours, that's nearly 11 and a half minutes per kilometer. And that's literally a walk. Like that's not a brisk walk. That's a leisurely walk, 11 and a half minute pace. That's an 8 hour marathon. And if I actually scroll down to a 7 hour marathon, that's 10 minute pace. And that's fair enough. That's like a brisk walk, which would allow for like a really slow jog and, you know, maybe a bit of a blow up and a bit of a walk later. So I think a 7 hour cutoff is actually fine. And if people aren't fit enough to do that, do they just do the half marathon? I think that's fair. Because it's having a 10 minute pace cutoff does allow for, you know, basically a brisk walk. Keeping in mind, you're probably on public roads most of the time, you have to open it up. So there are logistics there. So what I would do is probably have a 7 hour cutoff, but like make sure that the facilities and the amenities are there for those people who finish in 6 hours and 59 minutes.
Cater for it and like allow for a sort of a 7:15 cutoff.
Or like 7 hours from when the last runner crosses the start line.
Exactly.
Which is very different from 7 hours from when the race starts.
Yeah, that's a big difference between gun and that time.
Yeah. So so we know the Sydney Morning Herald half marathon in Sydney, big one in Sydney. We know that. Oh, that's my dog knocking over a cowbell. So Sydney Morning Herald half marathon in Sydney has a 2-hour 45-minute cutoff. And that is, honestly, that's quite slow. And I've coached a lot of runners that are very slow and they've made that cutoff. That's 2 hours 45. So if you extrapolate that to a full marathon, what's 2 hours 45 times 2? That's like 6.5 hour marathon.
Yeah.
So 6.5 hour marathon, extrapolate that to 7 hours because it's a longer distance. I think that's fair. I don't think it should be any slower.
No, and I've done like Queenstown Marathon for the last 2 years. And Queenstown Marathon, I don't think there's a real cutoff.
It's kind of off-road as well, isn't it? Off-road, it's a bit traily.
Kind of off-road. There's a few roads that are closed but half open. Because, you know, it's not a massive city. Yeah. And when I did it the first year, there were people finishing after 8 hours.
Yeah.
And like, I think they do it very well because everything stays open. Like the crowds disappear a bit at that, like after 8 hours at the finish line.
Yeah.
But everything was there. Toilets were there. Food was there.
Yeah.
Aid stations were still there. There were still people.
They didn't remove the timing mats.
No, everything. Like, and they've done it really well compared to, I reckon the London Marathon organizers just didn't account for that hour before crossing the start line.
Yeah. And that was obviously communicated poorly to the people on the ground out there who were told, okay, as of this time, you need to clean up this road. And so they were doing their jobs. And then there were runners trying to come through. But part of the issue was those people who it was jobs that who it was their job to clean up the roads. They were then hurling abuse at the runners. And there were quotes like, if you weren't so fat, you'd be able to run faster. Saying that to someone who's already lost 50 kilograms so they can be in that place they're in currently, calling them fat and saying you should be able to run faster. Like, I think that was pretty bad from the people who were actually there to clean up the race. That's, like, that's just pisses me off. That's shocking.
Like, note to self, don't hire dickheads to clean roads.
Well, that's your number one rule always. As long as I've known you, your number one rule is don't be a dick. Anything else is a bone.
Yeah, like it is. Like, and this is like, that, like, I reckon if the people that clean the roads were just normal, decent people that were like, okay, cool, just pass through. We're just cleaning up because that's our job without being dickheads.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been as bad.
Don't be a dick.
Yeah.
So solution, organize it properly and don't be a dick.
Basically. I think we should sell our own race, Paddy.
Sounds quite basic. I reckon we could do this. And have water at aid stations, have beer at aid stations.
I reckon if we're going to, like, Paddy and I have been talking about doing a That's Running road show where we go on the road to talk about this shit to people in real life. I reckon we should do this in pubs. Yeah.
In pubs.
Yeah, we'll bring some TheraBands and some weights so people can still do some exercise, but we'll like do it in a pub.
That's tricky. I reckon get the good shit done and then go and have beer and pizza after.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm right, yeah, we'll do that.
If anyone has any, if anyone's experienced being cut off in a race, can you please tell us what it's like? Yeah, I've never been cut off, and I would love to know people's experiences of it, or if you've like just beaten the sweepers and you've just gotten home, or if you have any opinions on the topic. I would seriously love to hear people's thoughts on this, because a lot of my mates, and I've discussed this with a few people, we generally agree on just about everything to do with running, but we have differing opinions on this. It's really interesting. It's something that's kind of divided some of my mates.
Yeah, and like, feel free to disagree with us, because this is our opinion and this is for us as like average to good runners. We don't have that back of the pack experience except when we're coaching. And we've never been swept up by sweepers or redirected onto the footpath. So we don't know what it's like. So if people can share insight, that would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Are we going to start a race? Should we start our own running race?
I think in the near future, why not? We'll start small.
What's your ideal race, Mengels? Just run me through top three things that make up your ideal race.
Good finish location.
Yeah.
Running into somewhere that's just a nice place with good people, good support.
Yeah. So that could be a pub, or it could be up in a scenic mountain somewhere.
Yeah.
Or on a beach.
Enough dunnies at the start.
Oh, toilets at the start? Yeah.
Toilets at the start is about plenty of toilets, not I'm queuing up for half an hour toilets.
Yeah.
It has to be, okay, now, there's a bit of a queue, fine.
You can wait 5 minutes.
Yeah, you can wait 5 minutes, but not 25.
Yeah.
So they need to be good. No. Facilities at the start line are so important.
Yeah.
Or like if you're doing it on the trails, there's bush. So sort yourself out.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. And then the third one is, I think having a regular aid station with friendly people makes a world of difference.
Yeah, it really does, doesn't it?
And it doesn't have to be every K. It doesn't have to be like super often, but every now and then at the right spot to have something there where you can even just stop, have a drink, have a chat, continue.
Yeah. Yeah. It really does make quite a big difference. Actually, when I did my first 100K trail run, was the Tarawera Ultra in New Zealand. And when I talk about that race, when I describe it to people, one of the things I usually mention is there was an aid station about 10Ks to go. I was looking like shit. I was 90Ks in, and this lady at the aid station said, how are you going? And I was like, shit, I'm fucked. And she's like, oh my God, like, can we help? Can we get you something? Can we do something? I was like, no, I'm fine. I've just run 90Ks. I'm fucked. And she's like, whoa, do you need a rest? Do we need call? I'm like, no, I'm fine. Just give me pizza. She's like, okay, cool. And then we're just kind of cracking jokes. And we actually chatted for a minute. And she like gave me a cup of Coke, like filled up my water and like gave me some pizza. And she's like, I can go run now. And I'm like, yeah, you're the best. And like, that was a really nice experience. That was just an aid station volunteer.
And I think having volunteered, like-minded people to volunteer is really important.
People who get it.
If you don't get it, yeah, you're just there. Oh, here's water, whatever. Yeah. They don't get it how you feel at kilometer 36.
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, yeah, have some.
Yeah. When someone's sitting down on a chair looking like a ghost, they don't need you to pat them on the back and ask if they're okay. They need you to like shove your foot up their ass and push them out there.
Yeah, exactly.
People understand that.
So what's your top three?
The super qualified aid station volunteers.
Have you got other top things that you want or need in a race?
I like a ban on headphones. That's what I like.
Yeah.
Because I like talking to and interacting with people, and I wouldn't want. I don't think it's great that people block out the experience of an event.
Mm. Even on road runs.
Yeah, 100%. When people are there cheering, and you get headphones in, like, come on, man, like, use that. That's fuel to run faster. So, funnily enough, I like a ban on headphones.
But you run with headphones when you're running?
No, maybe one in five runs, I'll put headphones in.
Yeah.
But I'll never race in headphones.
No, okay. No, I've not done that either.
No, don't like it. Things that make a good event, good announcers as well, like people at start line, people at the finish line, kind of on the microphone. Having a bit of a chat. Pat Carroll has done that for like most races I've been in. He's really, really good at that. What else makes a run good? Good location. Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. Like a nice sort of start and finish. It can literally be on a beach. It can be in the bush somewhere, but somewhere that's like nice, that's kind of set up, got some food around, got some music, got some toilets, somewhere that, you know, might have a pub set up nearby, or you might be on a beach or something that's like pretty accessible and pretty low key. But I'm interesting enough to hang around at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, great. I finished. Like, let's just go home.
Yeah, finished, medal gone. How important is a medal, Paddy?
I don't care. I actually don't care.
You're just like, okay, cool. Thanks. Let's go.
You wear it until midnight that night, and then bang, you'll never look at it again. I actually don't care for the medals at all, unless it doubles as a bottle opener. I think that would be the only reason I'd actually enjoy a medal. 6 foot track give you cowbells. They actually give you a cowbell. That's cool. Good. I think cowbells should replace medals. But what I do love is a finisher's t-shirt.
Oh yeah.
Like just a really basic cotton $3 finishing t-shirt set. I run this race. I love that shit.
Yeah.
And I reckon they're probably just as cheap to produce as some medals are. So t-shirts rather than medals. That's what I reckon.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, cool. Sick. I just wanted, we got some messages from people on Facey. Like I had a Corey Carlson send us a message from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
All the way over there. About running through sickness. Yep. And all I said, above the neck, keep running, have a cup of concrete, suck it up.
Yep.
Below the neck, have a rest, let it pass. Agree? 100%. Disagree? 100%. Yeah, 100%, right?
Yeah. Without any prior knowledge of medical conditions or anything serious, then like if it's literally you've got a headache or you're a bit sniffly or your throat is sore, like cool, you can run through that. Maybe lower your expectations for the run. Maybe don't do a hard interval session. Maybe just go for a jog. But like still run, you can train through that. But if it's like more systemic muscle aches and your energy is zapped and things are hurting, like from your neck down, you have symptoms, that's when you've probably got a bit of a bug and there's less value in stressing your body with a run. You should probably just actually rest up.
Yeah.
Give yourself those like 4 to 5 days or whatever it might be. and then ease back into it.
And you have you're at a high risk of getting sicker if you have something below the neck, if it's in your lungs. And if you just, because if it's a bug, and like when you run, you breathe in a fair amount of bacteria through your mouth, it can get worse. Yeah. And it can escalate. So not worth it.
So there you go, Mr. Wisconsin.
Yeah, and then Bruce McDonald.
What a name. From G'day, Bruce.
From Queensland. So good old Aussie. just send us a message, just being a legend, training for his first half, aiming for sick. A sub-20 5K, started, you know, on the 12-month health mission, already lost 24 kilos.
Crikey.
And he's just getting out there and running hard. So he's just shouting out Bruce and thanking us for talking a bit about running.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. So, that's sick. So 24 kilos.
Yeah, keep at it, Bruce. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Keep it going. Keep us updated. Send us some pics.
Yeah, yeah. Before and after pics are always good.
Not dick pics.
No, Paddy. I thought that was self-explanatory.
Rad, any other people saying g'day
at all? Let's have a look. Nothing new.
Sweet.
Yeah, just everybody has been like shouting out to us or messaging us on Facebook or Instagram. Keep it coming. We're happy to answer questions, like wherever we can, or just tell us you love or hate us. It's fine as well. Any love, no hate.
Just love. Cool.
And we've got...
Well, thanks for listening in. Yep.
We've got interesting guest coming on soon.
Which one?
Which one?
I've got a few in mind.
Yeah.
I've got a few in mind.
One is penciled in to be recorded very, very soon.
Yes. There's one. First marathon, bit of a fundraiser. And someone who might be a bit more of a prominent name in the ultra running marathon community as well.
So, yeah, we'll get him on.
A couple of people lined up. So interesting over the next month, I reckon.
Yeah. Like keep an eye out for those two, for those couple of people. And yeah, keep listening, guys. We really enjoy sharing the love. And once we get the road show on the road, pun intended, then we'll let you guys know so we can like have a chat in real life.
Sick. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
All right. Cheers, guys. Thank you.